Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to MidWatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of this show. I don't know if where it's at, where you're at right now, but it is storming, raining here in Houston, and we are just excited to be here. We braved the storm to get to the station. We have a very special guest with you. We're going to talk about a lot of things, and I want to introduce and let me give you our address first. It's Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. We have the chat window open, so you can visit us online. If you're listening from the station's broadcaster, you'll be able to chat with us if you have any questions for our guests or any things you want to point out. And we'd love just to hear your comments and stuff. And without any further ado, let's introduce Mr. James Lansbury. How are you doing, James?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me this morning.
Amen, James. Tell us a little bit about yourself. And of course, welcome to the show. But tell us about yourself and how you know God and everything. And then we'll jump into anything else you want to talk about.
Sure. My name is James Lansbury. I'm the Executive Vice President of Samaritan Ministries International. I've been here in Peoria, Illinois for about 13 years, serving in this capacity and the nation's largest healthcare sharing ministry. What we are is an alternative to health insurance for Christians who want to be a part of a patient-centered, non-insurance healthcare option. We have over 70,000 people that are a part of this, over 21,000 households who've been members, and we're sharing over $5.6 million in medical bills a month among our members. So I have been a Christian for, since college. I was converted through a campus ministry at my small state school in Pennsylvania, and have been trying to follow the Lord's calling since then, and thankful for the path that's brought me into a full-time position in this ministry.
Amen. So tell us about Samaritan Ministries. How did it get started?
Well, we started out with a handful of families who wanted to share one another's medical burdens at an affordable cost. And it's been started from just 10 to 15 families in late 1994 and has grown to over 21,000 families today. Our founder and president, Ted Pittner, who is still around here, has wanted to try to start a second healthcare sharing ministry. There was already one based out of Ohio that he's been a part of and thought, well, why couldn't there be two? And so he took it upon himself to work to get this one off the ground. It was a slow start. It took us, 3 years to get our first 200 members, and then got up to 1,000 members a year after that. And since then, we've grown at a fairly steady rate to the point where we have, as I mentioned before, over 21,000 families, over 70,000 people who are taking part in the ministry.
Wow. Now, how does it actually work? I mean, do you have like a premium you have to pay? Or when you mentioned share each other's cost, what is that?
Well, each one of our members each month pays a specific monthly share, and it goes directly to another family who's had a medical bill in the recent months. And so this month I might be sending my share to someone in Iowa, next month to someone in Texas. And that monthly share is $355 for a family of three or more. It's even less for couples and singles. And that goes directly to another Christian family. And then once a year, I send membership dues to our office of $175 to cover the costs of operating the Samaritan Ministries office. That's a separate membership dues over and above those shares. But the shares go directly from one person to another. So when you have a medical need, you'll get checks and notes and cards and prayers from all over the country, and then you're able to pay your medical bills yourself.
Wow. Tell us some of the success stories and even personal stories of yourself needing the medical help.
Sure. Well, my biggest need for my family was when my wife had her appendix out about 5 years ago. She had to go to the hospital for some abdominal pain. They did a CT scan, and 2 days and $24,000 later, she's free of her appendix. And we were able to get the needs put into the office, and we got notes and cards from 21 different states, over 100 different people who took the time to share with us. They sent notes and cards, and we got a lot of encouragement as we're opening the mail around the table. She's recovering from her appendectomy, and so it was just an amazing experience for us. And we're also in the same process able to get a discount on the hospital bill to the tune of about $6,000, so we're able to send several thousand dollars then on to another family after that we paid off all our bills. And we have stories like that going on every single month, as I mentioned, over $5 million a month in medical needs that we're sharing. And our largest need to date is in the neighborhood of $1.5 million.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. So, and so how did you personally get involved with this?
Well, I got involved as a member. I joined because of an ad I saw in World Magazine in 1996. Way back, just after my first daughter had been born. And we were excited to join something. I'd wanted a non-insurance approach to healthcare, and I was overjoyed to be able to find what this particular opportunity. And then I ran for the board of directors in 1998, was elected to the board, and came after I came up for my first board meeting, they were actually looking for someone with some administrative and management skills, and they offered me a job to come off the board and come on staff. So I moved from Greenville, South Carolina area to Peoria, Illinois to come on staff in early 1999 and have been here since. So I started out as a member and then a board member before I ever came on staff. So I believed in this ministry for a long time. In some ways, even before it existed or even before I knew it existed, because I did not like the insurance approach to healthcare. I really wanted to be a part of a community Christian approach, and this has been a great opportunity for me over the years.
Wow. Now, how can people enroll, and how can they get involved in something? And is it for everyone?
It is for any Christian who can sign up to a basic ecumenical Christian statement of faith, can join. You have to be in church 3 out of 4 Sundays, abstain from abuse of alcohol, abstain from tobacco. You know, those are all things the members have all agreed to
okay.
do. And then so any Christian who has a lifestyle in that fashion is able to join the ministry. All you have to do, you can go and download an application straight from our website. You have your pastor sign off to it, and you send it right in with your first month's share and your annual administrative dues, which is, you know, as I mentioned, $355 for the first, you know, for each month as your monthly share goes on. And then you're part of the ministry, and we share needs. And so it's been a great thing to see God answer lots of people's prayers, and encourage people to go check out our website. It's www.samaritanministries.org. That's samaritanministries.org. And you can get all the information, all the nuts and bolts about how the ministry works there, as well as download an application.
Amen. And when they do this, how often do they get updates and stuff?
How often, excuse me?
How often do they get updates of, like, the person? Say they send the gifts out to the person they're supposed to send that month. How often are there updates getting from that person they're sending to?
That depends on the person. You know, when we had our appendectomy, as I mentioned, over 100 different people shared with us. And so the general understanding is very difficult to try to send thank you notes to 100 different people.
Oh, absolutely.
For major surgery and have a sizable family. And so usually you can find out updates through the prayer guide, but our ministry is getting so big that it's very difficult to actually accomplish that. But, you know, our members do try to communicate with one another, and if a member will call up, we can give them the most up-to-date prayer requests. We keep in contact with the members. But we do have a monthly newsletter that comes out with a prayer guide with a number of members to pray for, and we just encourage members to keep praying and keep watching for God's healing touch.
Amen. Y'all should use like a chat board or a podcast that they can send a report to them. And the people can log in and they can see all the progress. That'll be a neat feature to add.
It is. We are working on a member portal, and the prayer stream, you know, like that will be a part of it.
Cool.
And we'll certainly want to encourage members to be able to do that. And we do have members occasionally communicate prayer requests through our Facebook page. Well, we're looking for something that's a little more secure.
Yeah, a little more.
Area.
Yeah,
and that'll be launching yeah. early next year.
That's awesome. Now, how many members do you have again?
21,000 families, about 70,000 people that are a part of this ministry.
Wow. That's an awesome resource to help each other. That is an awesome resource. If you think of the way that the church operates itself, you know, only 10% actually give, and still churches are running pretty good. If everybody gave in that church, there's phenomenal things that a ministry can do. So when you have that many people that are constantly giving faithfully to help each other's needs, that's just awesome. I mean, you're going to be able to meet the needs of the health. Has anyone ever not had enough to take care of their financial needs on their health things?
We do have months where we have what we call prorating. This is when there's more needs than share dollars available.
Okay.
Because, again, the members are budgeting a specific monthly share. And in those months, we've shared as little as 80%, never less than that, of the medical need. But we also then raise funds from our members for our pro rata fund to be able to send out gifts if the members can't still meet that need after discounts. And so, but up to this point in the last, several years, as far as we're aware, there's not been a single need that's not been completely able to be met either through discounts, through those pro rata donations, and through the shares of the members. If we have a member that, for whatever reason, decides to drop out of the program and not send their monthly share that month, then we'll reassign that share to another member the following month so that still will happen, even though we had one member who decided to change their mind about being a member. We'll still make sure that the other member with the medical need doesn't get left hanging because of that.
So do most people just drop their local health care insurance stuff that they have, or are they just a supplement, or how does it work?
Yeah, there are some members we're aware of that have a health insurance policy, but it's very few, and we don't encourage that. We think this non-insurance community approach is a great way to take care of health care needs, and so it's a very small minority if it exists, but we do know of a few that have occasionally had that. And the only thing we ask is that if you do have insurance, that the insurance takes care of everything that they will pay first before we send the bills to the members.
Absolutely. That makes sense. Now, I remember, if you believe it or not, back in 94, 95 when this got started. I remember back then. And I was like, would that really work? Well, this, how many ever years you want to count? I don't want to say how old I am, but no, I'm playing. It's longevity proves things. Amen. Longevity in ministry, longevity in helping people, and your organization has that longevity. Give them the website again.
Website is www.samaritanministries.org. That's samaritanministries.org.
Amen. Now tell us about the hospital, the new project, the Morning Center. When is this going to start?
Well, the Morning Center, we're currently raising funds and doing development for a project to start a mobile care unit for maternity care in a major city, which is the first city that we're going to get up and running in, is scheduled to be Memphis, Tennessee. And we started out with a plan to actually build brick-and-mortar hospitals, and it moved off of that because we went into the development of this ministry called the Morning Center with some false assumptions, which is always great to be able to, as you're developing a ministry, switch gears a little bit as you learn more. You don't want to write things in stone. Anytime you start a new project, when you know the least about what you're doing, you want to make sure that you can be fluid and agile as you're developing any kind of a project, and we've tried to do the same thing. And so as we've moved into the local communities and started to investigate and talk to doctors, hospitals in the local cities where we think there's a need, we've learned that there's a bigger need, not for brick and mortar, but for the ability to have people get care close to their homes. And right now, if you can find a Medicaid provider in the inner city, you might have to travel through a couple of buses or expensive taxi to get to those prenatal visits. And fulfillment of prenatal care in the inner city, especially among the poor, is very low. And so we're going to establish these mobile care units where we'll be able to partner with local churches and ministries and community centers to get prenatal care visits in the woman's neighborhood, so she can actually get Christ-centered, free prenatal care right there within walking distance of her home and get the gospel ministered to her through it and get her partnered with a local church as soon as possible so that they can start to, as she's converted, hopefully get her plugged into the ordinary discipleship ministry that belongs to that community church.
Amen. Amen. Now, how long have you been working on this project?
We've been working on this project since early 2011. We're planning a launch date for the first mobile care unit, funds permitting, in January of next year. to coincide with the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade.
Amen. Amen. Now, what would be the cost to put a unit like that together?
The cost for the mobile care unit, including the first-year staff, because when we hire medical missionaries, we want to make sure we can commit to paying them for a full year, is right around $500,000 to get that first one off the ground. And that'll enable us to do prenatal care and labor and delivery for a couple hundred women in the first year, and as we continue to raise funds to expand our staff and to be able to make that work. But again, what we're funding is medical missionaries into the inner city. That's going to be our largest expense.
Wow.
Is the staff, because what we're paying for is quality health care side-by-side with quality evangelism. We don't want to go halfway on either of those issues.
So this mobile unit will be available to anyone in the inner city?
It will be available to anyone. We will schedule appointments just like any other prenatal care provider would, but what we'll do is we'll schedule them so that we come to you as opposed to trying to find out a way for you to get to us with a brick-and-mortar model.
And you're able to minister to them as well.
Right, and that's our goal, to be able to minister to as many women as possible again, because when we're talking about the pro-life cause, we're talking not just about the life of the baby. We're talking about the soul of the mother, and we need to make sure that we focus on both of those avenues together as we try to save the life of the baby. We want to be able to, because if you save the mother's soul, you'll save the life of the child.
Amen. Amen. Now, are you also working on a charitable hospital?
We are eventually looking at, in some cities, we think there'll still be needs for these charitable hospitals, brick and mortar, but that'll be part of our long-term plan, not part of the short-term plan right now. The goal right now is to get as many of these mobile care units up and running as quickly as we can so that we can help defray, get better care and evangelistic care into these women's lives in the inner city in more places more quickly.
Amen. Now, is there a way for people that they can donate to you, even if they're not members?
You can find us online at morningcenter.org. That's morningcenter.org. And there's a light link to donate now. If you want to donate, if you want to sign up for monthly giving, we'd love to have monthly supporters. If you just want to get on our mailing list so you can keep up with what we're going on, all that's available right there at the morningcenter.org website. And we'd be glad to have
awesome.
Your prayers and your support as much as possible.
I think that's awesome. I'm excited about that right there as well. And that's pretty good. Do you have any promos for that yet on the radio? Because I'd love to put that promo on our we have four channels. I'd love to put it on there for our listeners to hear about that.
I will look into that. We don't currently have any promotional radio style promotions. We do have some short video promotions that are out there for the Morning Center, but nothing that we've done up for radio. I will check into that.
Yeah, put that
for the next few weeks.
Yeah, just jot that down, and also for the health insurance or the health care as well. That would be great to put on, just to play it for you. I don't mind doing that. And I'm the station owner, so I can do it. So and it would be great just to promote y'all and to let people know that's out there for them to be able to get this. So if we can do that, that'll be great. So do y'all do any kind of missionary work as well with the medical needs?
No, we just continue to go out and try to encourage Christians to do what God created us to do, which is bear one another's burdens. And I've been very excited about those opportunities. And the Morning Center, which is brand new, it keeps up every bit of available time, you know, as we try to figure out a way to get this off the ground. But God has been good to us and blessing us with the right laborers, I think, to go forward with that. And so more than enough to keep this father of nine busy.
Wow, you got nine kids?
We're expecting our ninth in January.
Oh, wow. Well, there's where all your time going. Well, that's fine. Amen. Amen. So what's the future plans besides the Morning Center and the hospital? How do you get people to join? I mean, how do you send your message out there to people?
Well, we obviously have our website there, and we do advertise in some Christian publications like World Magazine. But most of our new members come from word of mouth from existing members. The paradigm of what Samaritan does is so different from what most people are used to in this modern day of trying to get everything covered under insurance, that it's helpful to have somebody else you know who's already been a part of the ministry. And so about 70% of our new members come from direct member referrals.
Now, that's actually pretty good. I mean, when you get word of mouth and you get referrals from individuals directly, that shows that you're solid and that people want to be a part of you and want to let people know. And that's pretty good.
Yeah.
What would be your best advice for those people that are kind of on the fence right now if they should stick with insurance or if they should move with this? I know you're not trying to suggest anything for them to do, but what would be your advice?
Yeah. Well, I think people need to do their own investigation and actually look into where their insurance dollars are going. Most people don't know that most insurance companies cover abortion and that some of your dollars are going to help fund abortion. I think that's the main reason that my family got involved in this in the early time is because we wanted to know exactly where our health care dollars were going.
Mm.
The other thing that's to keep in mind is that we have members who are on our reference list. If you're interested in talking to someone who's already been through the need sharing process, who doesn't get a paycheck from us, we've got a list of about 75, 80 families nationwide, one close to you, I'm sure, wherever your listeners are listening in, that can talk to you and tell you about the process that they went through having a need shared and why they like Samaritan Ministries. And so we try to make sure that we accommodate the concerns there. But one of the chief things that people want to look out for in the future is that because of the Supreme Court decision that came up a couple of weeks ago, the Affordable Care Act, the new health care reform law, is going to make insurance more and more unstable because there's more and more government involvement in it. There's more and more uncertainty with respect to insurance. But thankfully, we were able to, through some bipartisan efforts and a sheer miracle from God, get language into that bill that exempts members of ministries like Samaritan from the penalty related to the individual mandate. And so even after that individual mandate kicks in 2014, our members are going to be able to still be a part of ministries like this that are not under government control, that are not beholden to all of those state and federal regulations regarding insurance. And so our costs will be able to stay much lower, and we'll still be as reliable as we always have been. Our members, again, over $5 million already in medical bills. Just seeing the ministry continue to grow makes it more and more friendly toward those who are concerned about it.
Amen, amen. And give us your website one more time before we go.
Website, www.SamaritanMinistries.org. That's SamaritanMinistries.org.
Amen. You were a member, and now you're board, and you're on staff. Wow. So God had a purpose for you when you joined this thing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Well, I enjoyed having you. Is there any last few words you want to say to everyone before you head out?
Well, last few words are, make sure that whatever you choose for health care, that you're in control of your health care decisions. Don't let an insurance or government bureaucrat make your health care decisions, and make sure you're working with your doctor directly and he's not being influenced by someone else who's writing his checks. The great thing about Samaritan Ministries is that you pay your doctor directly and that we help bear your burdens, and so you're able to actually make all your own decisions, and that's the kind of model you want, whether it's Samaritan or something else, one where you are in control of your own health care decisions.
Amen. Amen. Well, I enjoyed having you. Anytime you need to announce anything or come on the air, or if you get those promos for me, I'll throw them on the air for you. And we enjoyed having you, brother.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, James. We love you. God bless. Bye-bye. Amen and amen. That was Mr. James Lansbury. And if you didn't get that, he's talking about insurance, medical insurance, that will be that is not really medical insurance. It's about helping each other with each other's needs and stuff. And it's something that I think everyone should at least look at. And like I said, you don't know what your insurance is actually covering. You don't know exactly what's it funding. And he was sharing with us just real quickly that the insurance that a lot of people have, the premiums that they pay, go to fund things that you don't even want to be a part of, like funding abortion and stuff like that. So think about it, pray about it, visit SamaritanMinistries.org. Again, that is SamaritanMinistries.net. I'm sorry, SamaritanMinistries.net. And you'll be able to get some information on that as well. We're going to go to our break. We'll be right back in just a few minutes, and we're going to have Pastor David Hope when we get back. All right, my friends, God bless you. We'll be right back.
A 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen.
Bruce Boguski, nationally known sports motivational speaker, gives this classic illustration about confidence.
Pete Rose, when he was going for Ty Cobb's record, he had 14 more hits to go, and he broke this record that stood for all these years. And one of the reporters went up to him in the locker room once and said, "Hey, Pete, you're a 300 hitter. You got 14 more hits to go to break the record." how many more bats do you think it's going to take before you do that? And I'll never forget Pete Rose looking at him square in the eye and say, 14. Now, that is a belief system. That's got to come first. And then all the other techniques that we, as we implement them, will work way better, and we'll see some amazing results.
And when that belief system is based on the Word of God, you can relax and enjoy the outcome. Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man who trusted the Lord, his hope and confidence. This is Dwight Allen, your sports chaplain of the year.
There's never been a tougher time in American history to raise a godly teenager. Our teens are pummeled with unprecedented temptations every day, causing unparalleled behavioral problems. Our American Judeo-Christian heritage has faded from today's culture to the point that we can no longer rely on government, our neighborhoods, or our public schools to reinforce the biblical worldview that we're trying to instill in our kids. An authoritative community model still exists, however, at a place called Shepherd's Hill Farm, located in Martin, Georgia. Shepherd's Hill Farm is a Christ-centered, year-long residential program and school for troubled teens struggling to navigate our sin-saturated society. God is using the staff at Shepherd's Hill Farm to cultivate the soil of teenagers' hearts so that the seed of His Spirit can transform them into change agents for Jesus Christ and for the sake of our American culture.
Trace Embry is the founder and director of Shepherd's Hill Farm. Shepherd's Hill is a Christ-centered and biblically-based residential program where struggling teens can experience life with healthy boundaries that are defined, enforced, and enjoyed. Find out if we can help you at shfteens.org.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Should not perish? Why do we need God's Son to keep us from perishing? Are we that bad? The preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who perish because they've not yet been convinced of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Once convinced of our guilt, the sacrifice of Christ then makes sense. George Whitefield, the great evangelist and friend of Ben Franklin, said, "Were you ever in all your life sorry for your sins? If not, do not call yourselves Christians. You must be brought to see that God may damn you for the very best prayer you ever put up, and you must be brought to see that all your duties, all your righteousnesses, are as filthy rags. If you never felt the deficiency of your own righteousness, you will not see the need for the cross." ChurchOfTheKingMacAllen.com on Ware Road, just south of Trenton, 585-4402. Lose your life for Christ and you'll find it.
Hi, I'm Peter Stanway from The Way Christian Ministries. Sometimes we find ourselves at sea as we journey through this life. We can float unanchored on the ups and downs of our feelings. At such times when we cry out to the Lord, He will rescue us from our distress. He reduces the storm to a whisper, and all grows calm as He brings us into the peaceful haven that we longed for. How true it is that one moment we are touching heaven, and the next we are in the depths of fear-filled dilemmas. He has never let us down, nor will He ever let us down. When we take our eyes away from the dizzying swells of our circumstances, when we stop despairing over disappearing horizons, when we fix our minds on our Lord's unfailing love, then our nauseous, seasick ride of anxiety will turn to praise and joy. Oh, Jesus, thank you for rescuing us from the storms of life. Amen.
Economically, spiritually, and morally, America is in a state of emergency. But you can make a difference because prayer changes things. 2 Chronicles 7:14 states, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, then God will heal the land." Join us this September on the 28th and 29th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania for a solemn assembly at Independence Mall and let your voice be heard at the place where America was born. Stand up for righteousness as multitudes gather to turn to our only hope for transformation, America for Jesus 2012. Register online today at AmericaForJesus2012.org. Answer the call to prayer and join us at America for Jesus 2012 on September 28th and 29th on Independence Mall in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily 24/7 on your online connection.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and we are live in the studio here on this rainy day in Houston. Goodness, Pastor, did you almost, did you have to float over here? I mean, you live pretty close. Did you take your boat?
No, I swam.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering, taking off your shower cap, use that for your swim helmet, for your swim cap. Oh, man, we just had James Lansbury on the show, and he was pretty good, and then talked about that insurance stuff, and I didn't know that stuff went, that your premiums went to fund other things like abortion. Did you know that, Pastor?
I did not know that.
He said that you got to investigate and that you can call your local insurance person that you pay and ask for a list of what they're paying. What is your premium paying? Besides, you know, just paying your premium, he said you got to get involved and find out. And he was talking about this Samaritan Ministries, which basically you give them for a family of four, it's $355 for, and then it goes down lower if you just two of y'all. And it's that's the cost, that's your premium that you send in. But you don't send it to people. I mean, you don't send it to the company. The need is, say someone's having a kidney transplant or something. Well, you send your $355 for that month to that person. And then when you have a need, people are going to be sending you checks to cover your bills. And then you get discounts at hospitals and stuff like that. And he said that when his wife had her surgery, and she had to, I forget what she had, but that there was $24,000 in bills, and every dollar was met. And they even saved $6,000 by getting a discount to go in there as well. Mm. Interesting. Very interesting. It's worth looking at. If you can afford to pay a premium and it's not in your job or anything like that, I mean, it's probably a lot less than most people are paying, and they cover it. They just send you the gifts. The gifts are sent to you. But anyway, Pastor, what are we going to talk about today?
We're going to talk about defeating the giants.
Amen. I know there's many giants in the land. There's many of them. And sometimes people see giants bigger than what they are, but God knows no giant is too big for him. Amen?
That's right. God has given us an inheritance, joint heirs with Jesus, and it's all available to us right now while we're on the earth. If he wanted us to wait until we get to heaven to walk in it, he wouldn't have given it to us now. And the problem is, you know, in the Old Testament, when it was talking about the promised land and God's people trying to enter in, that is a natural picture for us of our new and better covenant, a natural picture of a spiritual thing. And today, when we're talking about walking in the promised land, we're really talking about walking in the promises of God, enjoying the benefits of our kingdom inheritance as a result of our blood covenant relationship with God Almighty. And the problem is, for many people born of God, they're born again children of God, they've got fire insurance, but their life's not any different than that of a lost person, because they really don't either know the promises of God or don't believe the promises of God enough to walk in them and expect them.
Amen. Amen.
And so because they just don't automatically happen. Just because you're born again, these things just don't fall out of the sky.
Absolutely.
They're giants on our land who have no right to that land, that are trying to keep us from walking in the promises of God.
Amen. God's given it to you already. We just got to possess it.
That is exactly right. Just like the land was, he told the children of Israel, I have given you this land. Mm-hmm. It's yours. Now go take possession of it. So what did they do? They sent in 12 spies, and they were leaders. They just didn't send in just anybody. They picked their leadership to go out there, spiritual leaders, and they came back and they preached a message. So we had 12 preachers. 10 out of the 12 preached what the Bible says, an evil report. And they said, oh, there's giants there. This is our land, God said so, and all that, but there's some giants, and they're big. They're sons of Anak. They're giants. And they are mightier than we are. And they've got walled cities, well fortified. We're not able to take the land. And then there was two prosperity preachers who preached, we are well able to take the land. Let us go up at once and take the land. And so, you know, the Bible says that there's not anything new under the sun. Today, probably 2 out of 12 preachers are prosperity preachers, and 10 out of the 12 are preaching evil report.
Yes.
Because they just want to play it safe. I'm happy to have my fire insurance, and that's good enough for me.
And they're comfortable. And they're comfortable.
Exactly.
I mean, I call that the feel-good gospel. I mean, it is. It just makes it feel like it's all right. It's okay. We're doing this. But God wants you to be aggressive in your faith.
Yeah. Amen. And so then when the people aren't walking in what the Word of God says they should have, and they're not overcoming and getting victory over poverty and victory over their physical health, walking in divine health, then the preachers just say, well, you know, they don't know what to say. So they just say, we just have to suffer for Jesus. But I've made up my mind, and I encourage others to make up their mind, that I am not willing to suffer in anything that Jesus has already redeemed me from. And we've been redeemed from the curse of the law through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the curse of the law is spiritual death, poverty, and sickness. Mm. And so we don't have to suffer that because we've been redeemed from it.
Amen.
Now, we may have to go through some persecution.
Yep.
Because we're doing what's right for the kingdom of God.
Absolutely.
But when you're walking in your full inheritance that God has given us, you can stand up to the persecution.
Amen. You know, the Bible says that, you know, sorrow may last through the evening, but joy is there in the morning. And yeah, sometimes you say, hey, well, he still has this sickness, or he's not getting his victory. Well, you know what? That's kind of part of the sorrow that you're pushing through. But you know, when you get it, if you weren't going to get it, God wouldn't say joy would be there in the morning. If you weren't going to get what God told you to get, even though you got to go through months, maybe even a year of pain, or even longer.
Amen. The Bible does not promise that you won't come into contact with this stuff, but
yes,
you have the victory over it, to overcome it through the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Who has already given you the victory, and then we believe it in our hearts, we confess it with our mouth, and begin to walk and act and talk like it's already done, because it is, and then begin to expect to see the manifestation of it in this natural three-dimensional world in which we live. It'll move from the unseen world into the seen world by faith.
Amen. Amen. Tell us some scriptures, Pastor. Keep going on with your teaching. I'll just plug in when I need to.
Okay. Well, so this evil report that they were preaching, these non-prosperity preachers, they came back with this, actually the same report as far as the facts are concerned. They just drew different conclusions. Mm. The ones with the evil report, just like Joshua and Caleb, all said, yes, it's just like what God said. That land, it flows with milk and honey. It is tremendous. They got grapes there as big as grapefruits. And here's the evidence they brought back. Yeah, they carried a stem of grapes on their shoulders. And they said, it's tremendous, but there's those giants. Boy, we're like grasshoppers in our own sight, and thus in their sight as well. The devil does not want God's people to know that he and all his forces of darkness, all the demons, they're afraid of the Jesus in us.
Amen. Amen.
And so they just want us to see ourselves as grasshoppers. And therefore, then they'll look at us that way too, because they know they got us hoodwinked. Hmm. But God wants you to know that you have dominion over all the things of this earth, and dominion over all the power of the enemy has been given to us. The only thing we should not be taking dominion over is over one another. God never meant for us to dominate another person, but for each of us to run the race that is set before us, love one another, and help one another fulfill their destiny. The best way for me to fulfill my kingdom destiny is to help somebody else fulfill theirs. Help their dream come true, and that'll come back to me with increase.
Amen.
And David,
amen.
I think about what you're doing and helping other ministries get their message out on the air, and that's going to come back to you, and you're going to see your dream fulfilled in the natural because you're helping others fulfill their dream.
Amen. Amen. So tell us about these giants that we face, Pastor.
Okay. Well, you know, the devil, has he released these spirits on the earth, and they're nowadays, that's what the giants are. Okay. There's not physical giants somewhere, but they're spirits. And the Bible says, let me just find that scripture, talking about the seven nations that are greater. Let's see here. Here we go. This is Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. It says, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it. That's the promised land. Go in and possess, enjoy, walk in the benefits, kingdom benefits of a child of God. Be the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath, the lender, not the borrower, blessed to be a blessing. All the things that it says that we have, because not because how great we are, but because of whose we are. We belong in covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It said, and cast out many nations before thee. So God has already gone before the land and cast out these nations. And then he names them the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. And these seven evil spirits are the evil counterparts of the seven spirits of God that were released on the earth. The devil released his counterfeit spirit. And they're there trying to keep us from entering in and walking in the promises of God. And so, based on the names and what those names mean, these are the effects. But the Bible says in Isaiah 10:27 that we have the anointing.
Amen.
And the anointing destroys the yoke of the enemy. And when, you see, you can only wear one yoke at a time. You ever seen an oxen with two yokes?
No.
We only have one neck. And so when that yoke of the enemy comes off, then we're yoked up with Jesus. His burden is light. His yoke is easy, praise the Lord. It's there to strengthen us, to help us, to do what we can't do. When we're weak, he's strong, praise the Lord. And so, yeah, these nations, they're mightier than we are. In our own strength, we can't defeat these giants, these spirits. But in the name of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus given to us by the blood of Jesus, we destroy them to pieces if we'll just believe God for it. So here's these spirits. Can I just go with that?
Go with that, brother. Go with
here. Here the Hittites was mentioned. These are brings fear. If fear is stopping you from walking in the promises of God, that's the giant of the Hittites, and we have authority, and we're going to call them out. And then we're going to pray, and the anointing, if you'll believe God and just receive it. In fact, David, I would go so far as to say, if your listeners just won't work against me.
Amen.
Just, you know, enough to just listen.
Unclog those ears.
And just receive it. They Amen. Don't have to be so full of faith and all that. Just give me a
And this isn't
measure.
No. This isn't no new gospel. This is the gospel. This is the truth gospel. Go ahead, Pastor. I like
Amen.
This. I'm writing down notes.
So these are people that have phobias or terror, these subliminal torments or fear.
There's so many.
We're
going to
break that power.
Amen.
Then there's the Girgashites. They focus on help and bring you to the point as you yield to them to focus on earthliness. In other words, you just believe what you can see. Hmm. And so we need to break that power over people's lives in Jesus' name. You know, I would just like to say to the listeners, there's many of you, it's not a coincidence that you're listening right now. It may be the first time you've ever listened to this program, but God wants to help you move in to the promised land. He says, I've already given it to you. Receive this, believe it, and then go and take it. you're well able to take it because of the blood of Jesus applied to your life. And then there's the Amorites. This is pride. People not willing to humble themselves and submit to God. And then the Canaanites. This is the addictions, perversions, people pleasing. If you always have to please people more than God, then you're under the influence of the Canaanite giants, keeping you from walking in your full inheritance. And we're going to break the power of that through the anointing of God. And the Perizzites, this is people who have low self-esteem or depressed.
Ooh, there's depression. A lot of those out there.
That's listening to the enemy to tell them you're nothing. That you're just, there's nothing special. You're no, or, you know what, David? You know what? I'm just an ordinary guy.
Amen.
If you think you're all that in a bag of chips, God can't use you. So if you just say, well, I'm just ordinary, great. You're the perfect person that God could use if you'll just believe him. And then God gets all the glory. Hallelujah. And then there's the Hivites, which is people that are enjoying just the earthly inheritance. In other words, the hedonism, those that are just thinking about the pleasures, the things of what will pleasure them all the time. That will stop you from walking in your full inheritance. And the Jebusites, rejection. People that feel rejected. Rejection hurts.
Oh, but it does. It
but
does.
But you know what? The Lord Jesus was the most rejected person ever. He took the rejection of every person. He was despised and rejected of men. Everybody rejected him. Even his inner circle. They all left. And he was alone. He came into his own, and his own received him not. And so if you're feeling you've been rejected, and that holds you back, keeps you from being bold for the Lord, or you're just concerned with only the earthly pleasures, or you're depressed, you're controlled and manipulated by other people, or you have the tendency that you have to control people, and pride is stopping you, or fear, we're going to break all these giants because God has already given us that land.
Amen. Amen.
Should we pray?
Go ahead, my brother.
Okay. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for victory, liberty, because of the blood of the Lamb. And in Jesus' name, we come against and break the power of the enemy and come against every giant in every person's life that is listening now and believing you for it. In Jesus' name, we take authority over the Hittite spirit of fear in Jesus' name. Break its power and destroy that yoke to pieces in Jesus' name. We come against earthliness and unbelief in Jesus' name and utterly destroy it through the anointing of God. We come against pride of the Amorites in Jesus' name and render it null and void and say the people are well able to humbly walk in the power of God and that you, Lord Jesus, will exalt them and bring the victory. We thank you, Lord, for victory over the Canaanite spirit of being controlled and manipulated by people and people pleasers or having to control others. We release that and destroy that power and set people free by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we thank you for the anointing to destroy that in Jesus' name. We take authority over the parasite spirit in Jesus' name that brings depression on people. We destroy that and we render it null and void and we loose it from people through the anointing. And right now I just anoint the people with the oil of gladness that the joy of the Lord would be their strength. In Jesus' name, we come against the Hivite spirit that makes people want to just seek out the earthly pleasures rather than pleasing God. We say that has destroyed the pieces and the people are free to love God more than they've ever loved him before. In Jesus' name, we destroy completely the spirit of the Jebusites in Jesus' name, the spirit of rejection.
Amen.
And we say that rejection is null and void, that people see themselves the way that they really are. Lord, they'll look at themselves the way that you see them, children of the Most High God, with of great value, who are not bought with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. And in Jesus' name, we say, Lord, that they walk in their kingdom destiny and see themselves as children of the Most High God, who the land has already been given to, and they go up at once and take possession of it for the glory of God. Father, we thank you for setting the people free to walk in their full inheritance, to bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus, and walk in their full inheritance in prospering and in health and being blessed to be a blessing and reaching others for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Well, Pastor, I appreciate you taking the time to come up here and share with everyone.
Thank you for having me.
Can you imagine the authority that the church would have if they break down these seven spirits and they possess the land that God has given them?
Amen.
I mean, it'll be an amazing thing. And if you don't know of Pastor David Hope, he is pastor of Words of Life Church here in Humble, Texas, 7811 FM 1960 East in Humble, Texas, 77346. You can come by and visit him anytime. Service times are, Pastor?
Sunday morning at 10:40 a.m., Sunday evening at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening at 7 p.m.
Amen. Now, Pastor's going to be accompanying me to the ICRS. This next week coming, actually pretty soon, Saturday, you'll be in Florida. I'll be in Florida driving, but you'll be flying there. You got the easy part of the job.
Amen.
And we're going to be out there, and I have my whole family going with me. We're going to be at a resort, and they're going to have a great time there while we're in air condition, praise God, inside the conference. I'm like, y'all can handle the elements. I'll be in air condition. And we're excited about that. But then we get back for just about a week, and then we are back on the airplane, and we're headed to Africa.
Amen.
So tell us what we're expecting in Africa, Pastor.
Well, not sure what to expect, but I know it's going to be good. We'll be going to Kenya. I'm not sure how much outreach we'll be doing.
We'll be imparting, though.
Yes, we will. We will be going to a conference there, speaking to other pastors. And
that's sometimes that's the best evangelism, because you empower them.
Right, because if you affect them, and encourage them and lift them up and give them revelation that they need, like, hey, this land is already given to me by God, then they go out and they can touch countless more than what we can in a short trip.
Oh, absolutely. And so that's why it's important to take these trips and to minister. So we're going to be, what, Kakamega? Is that the place?
That's the that's where we'll be staying, and I'm not sure where we'll be ministering, probably in the village of Sabatia and the surrounding villages there.
Okay, so we have a full week plan. We're going to only be gone from the 20th to the 7th, so short trip. But because you hear people go on missions, they're gone for months. Well, praise God. God didn't build me that way. And I don't think you can be gone from the church, and I can't be gone from the station that long. But
right.
I mean, 12 days or so? 13
yeah,
days?
Something like that. 12 days.
Yeah, so we're going to have fun. So keep us in prayer for this trip that we're taking now, and then also for the trips that we're going to be in Africa. So the show will be broadcast live, and you'll probably hear Pastor pop in and say hi and check on us during our interviews at the ICRS. He'll come in and check out on what we're doing. Maybe give me a break so I can go take a restroom break and come run back for the next guest. And we're excited about that, and we're just excited. I feel it in the air, Pastor. You're telling me yesterday too. You feel it in the air. Something's gonna happen. Something good's gonna happen, and there's an expectation. It's something about faith. If you don't have expectation, it's hard for faith to operate when there's no expectation.
Amen. You get what you expect, so you might as well expect something big from God. He's well able to do it.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, just give us a closing prayer for everyone. Would you pray for my friend Kelly Brown? He just called me earlier before I started the show, and he's doing good, but he still battles the symptoms of MS, and just keep him in prayer for healing. And he's going to go to India. He's going to try and go to India with me.
Okay.
In November. So
Kelly Brown.
Brown.
All right. Father, we touch and agree on earth according to Matthew 18:19. You said if we would do that, whatsoever we would ask would be done by our Father which is in heaven. So we thank you, Lord, that in Jesus' name we declare, decree, and establish it on earth that by your stripes, Kelly is healed. Amen. In Jesus' name. We take dominion and authority over the name of MS in the name that is above every name that could be named, the name of Jesus. And in Jesus' name, we command it to go. And we speak God life and resurrection power to Kelly's body to rise up and do everything that you put in his heart to do in good health as he prospers and is in health. You said in 3 John 2 that above all things, you wish that we would prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. So in Jesus' name, we thank you for a complete, total recovery. We take dominion over time and speed up the healing process by the power and anointing of God. And we thank you for it and count it as done already, because it is. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And you know, I always ask my pastor and any minister that comes to the station or on the air with us to give a prayer and a blessing to everyone. And the reason is because this ministry, this show, is about blessing people. Yeah, it's about interviewing people and talking about you, about the Word of God, but it's about getting something put into your life and faith. And if you can receive what these men and women of God are preaching to you, you're going to get it and you're going to hold it in your hand. And it's going to be unbelievable for you. Thank you, Pastor, for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Amen. And we'll catch y'all next time on the Midwatch. God bless you. And we'll see you next time from the ICRS next week. God bless you. Be sure to write me, David, at RevMediaNetwork.com. God bless you. We'll see you.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.